I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Several individuals were sitting having coffee when another individual with a black hoodie approached them, made some conversation, and then left. Those individuals then walked out of the McDonald's and into the subway station behind us right now. They were followed in by that same individual, heavyset male with a black hoodie, where a shooting occurred downstairs, directly at the bottom of the steps. One individual was shot one time in the head, and he was pronounced DOA at the scene.
A bloody weekend here in the Big Apple. Some of the blood barely dry on the sidewalk outside our studio. It happened about 4 hours ago, just after 6 this morning. Gunfire breaking out. Three people shot, one of them killed, right near Penn Station. Noam is on the scene. He's got the details. What happened, mate?
You know, it seems like it might have just been a situation where this individual who came in and sat down at this McDonald's right here on 8th Avenue, it's a 24-hour McDonald's, and got into some sort of argument with these three other men. It's not clear. We have one eyewitness is telling us that it might be a case of disrespect, that he may have been disrespected. So these three men walk out of the McDonald's, go into the AC&E subway stop here at 35th and 8th Avenue, and as they make their way down the stairs, this heavy-set African-American individual in a hoodie follows them down the stairs and just rat-tat-tat-tat starts firing bullets off them. And apparently he had pretty good aim because two of these individuals hit. We've confirmed his death, Angel Quinones, 43 years old. And then two others were hit by gunfire, 45-year-old William LeBoy and 48-year-old Eddie Torres. Now we're trying to figure out what the connection between all four of these men might be. There had been an initial report that they may have known each other from a clinic here, a methadone clinic that I'm standing outside right now on West 35th Street. I tried to get confirmation from this methadone clinic, which, you know, I'm sitting on this 35th Street, Geraldo, and, you know, I can't remember ever walking down the street in a long time. It's almost like the street that time forgot. It's this gritty old Manhattan street that the developers seem to have not figured out is here, because this methadone clinic, you know, you wouldn't know you were walking by a methadone clinic. It just says medical care. But when I walked in, I guess I didn't look gritty enough to them, and they booted me out before I could ask them any questions of whether these men were actually people who were showing up at this methadone clinic for their daily hit.
This is 35th between 8th and 9th or 7th and 8th?
The shooting took place in the subway stop that is 35th between 7th and 8th. It's really at the corner of 8th. And this methadone clinic is not even a half a block away from there. It's called the Westside Medical Care, and it's at 311 West 35th Street. And as I'm standing outside right now, the crowd of people coming in and out of this place is unbelievable. I mean, one after another. And I keep asking people, did you see anything? Did you hear anything? Do you know these guys? Nobody really wants to talk to me.
So describe the people going in and out of the methadone clinic, Noam, because that is a very vivid reminder of the new heroin epidemic that I swear to God is going to be the stealth issue in this presidential race. Describe the folks coming in and out of that clinic.
Well, you know, some of it might be what you would imagine a drug addict to look like. They look disheveled, kind of sometimes what I look like when I walk in at 2 in the morning. The others, though, you have, you know, it's all nationalities. I mean, I'm looking, there's white, black, Latino. Nobody in a suit and tie. I'm not getting any of that. I mean, it doesn't look, and honestly, if I had to guess, and I don't know for sure, because only a few of them have been willing to talk to me, it doesn't look like any of these people are going anywhere afterwards. Like, it doesn't look like they're in a hurry to get to a job or anything like that. But there's I mean, a crowd of people going in and out, and I can only assume they're all going for their daily fix.
Our own Noam Layden on the scene, 35th and 7th Avenue right now, the scene this morning of a shooting, not a shootout, but a shooting, an assassination almost, following an apparent beef at a McDonald's, one dead, two injured. The perpetrator, the alleged perpetrator, a large-scale African-American man wearing a hoodie. He, I guess, Noam, correct me if I'm wrong, did he disappear down the subway? Where did he go following the shooting?
Police are giving us two different theories they think may have happened. One is they're looking for a silver-colored car that raced from the scene, and there's a possibility that he jumped into that car and raced away. And then, yeah, the second one would be, well, he was already down in the subway. Maybe he ran off into one of the tunnels. Maybe he actually was able to catch a subway. We're not sure. But we did, Geraldo, catch up with one witness who arrived at the shooting scene just moments after the bullets flew. And here's what he had to say.
I saw two men on the floor. They took two men to two different ambulances, you know what I'm saying? So that this is serious because they had already put yellow tape up over on that side right there. So once you see the tape, you know something very serious is going on.
And you can imagine, you know, 6:15 on a Monday morning, that's a busy time here. The Penn Station is a block away. Port Authority is six blocks away. There might be, at that time, thousands of people walking to their jobs, whether it be in Midtown, Downtown, Uptown. And then, you know, even a half hour later, tens of thousands. You know how busy it can get between 40.
Oh, I just heard my producer here at Fox News, Jessica, just told me that she was on the Helix trying to drive in on the bus, trying to get into Lincoln Tunnel, and she was backed up for over an hour. So the cops shut everything down. But as far as I know, nobody's been arrested yet. Is that true?
No arrests. But to tell you how vital and how important this part of Manhattan is to, you know, lawmakers and police and alike here in New York, Bill Bratton himself, the police commissioner, showed up here. Well, it was probably more than an hour ago. It might be 2 hours ago. And it's not often that you see him at the scene of a crime, but I think, you know, everybody is, of course, worried. You know, you don't want gunfire here in Midtown without the people who are coming to work. Thousands of tourists are walking by. Thousands of everyday New Yorkers are walking by. Just get on the subway or maybe even get a sandwich at this McDonald's where this whole argument began.
Jessica is here now. Jessica Dimshitz, she's just pregnant, and we love her. Did you announce that? I just did. Tell me what it was like trying to get into town today.
Traffic was awful today, Geraldo. I usually would be here at 9 o'clock this morning. It took me an hour and 15 minutes or so longer than usual. Stopped everywhere. We would go for about, 100 yards, and then it would stop again, and they'd make an announcement saying, "We're sorry, the bus lane is closed due to an incident at the tunnel." And then, again, we would just go again, and we'd just continue like that for, at least an hour, hour and a half, something like that.
You all have your personal devices, so you knew what was going on, I assume. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, having my phone with me was definitely helpful because I was able to track it the entire time and also complain a little bit. But it was definitely helpful and contact work and things like that. But I don't know, it was kind of a pain in the butt today.
Pain in the butt and a little scary. Thank you, Jessica. Thanks very much.
Hey, Geraldo, stay with me for 1 second because now as I'm standing here outside this methadone clinic, two of what looks to be NYPD detectives, two police officers in suits have made their way inside of this building, which is at 311 West 35th Street. Don't know what that's about, but that's the first time I've seen anybody official walk into this building.
So are you theorizing, Noam Layden, are you theorizing a link between the clinic and the fatal shooting?
You know, I was ready to pull back from that story. It was information that was given to us from the Associated Press this morning, our newswire service, that there might be a connection between the methadone clinic and the shooting. But when when Police Commissioner Bill Bratton was on the scene with other police officials this morning, they weren't ready to make that connection. But clearly, they're investigating something here because these two guys just walked into this clinic. I don't know if it's the first time this morning or if it's the seventh time, but two well-dressed, clearly detectives, you can just tell, walked into this building and looks like maybe they have some questions to ask.
All right, a bloody weekend, as I mentioned. Noam Layden on the scene. Noam will update us. We'll try to get some official police, the latest from the cops, from police headquarters. What the hell is going on? Is it still the fact that nobody has been arrested, a fatal shooting? To any word on the condition of the injured? No. All right, I've lost Noam. We'll get him back. We'll get the latest on that, and I think traffic now clearing up. It is one of the busiest traffic hubs in the entire nation, if not the world, and now you had this fatal shooting right at the heart of it, affecting not only Penn Station and the trains, but also the Port Authority and the buses that we heard from Jessica, who made her way in from Jersey. Jersey also had their own in Plainfield. Did you hear about that one? Union County, New Jersey. It happened Friday afternoon, affected people all weekend long. You had a man killed, two others injured in a drive-by shooting in Plainfield, New Jersey. One of the injured, a six-year-old girl. We don't know who the shooter is in that case, as far as I know. We are trying to update that. You know, let me take a quick break. We'll reassess the latest in the news. I have so much to talk to you about this morning. We have, of course, the Trump appearance on Saturday Night Live, if not a triumph, maybe close to it. I'll tell you why I think he won the PR battle. You had three more pedestrians killed this weekend. What the hell? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a 9th, 10th, and 11th pedestrian fatality. You know, that's the 11th in a week. Pedestrians being killed. Pedestrians, fatal pedestrians being hit, accidents, you know, just being hit and killed. The latest, a 68-year-old man in Ozone Park, an 86-year-old woman on the Upper West Side, an 88-year-old woman also struck on the Upper West Side. What the hell is going on? Where is Vision Zero, the mayor's widely touted plan to curb vehicular deaths? You know, 11 people dead. I mean, can you imagine 11 people dead in pedestrian accidents just this weekend alone? So we'll talk about that. And another pitbull fatality. I mean, come on, what the hell are we thinking? I mean, why don't we just keep wolves as pets? It is preposterous. It is animal rights gone amok. It's crazy. Pit bulls in a crowded, suburban or urban environment. It is absolutely nuts. I want to talk about that. Also, Bibi Netanyahu in D.C. meeting with President Obama. Oy vey on that one. A lot to talk about. We're tracking many important stories, including the triple shooting near Penn Station this morning. A pit bull attack in Nassau, which was very distressing. A drive-by shooting in Uniondale. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. We haven't even gotten to politics. I want very much to tell you my review of Saturday Night Live. Dr. Ben Carson also being assailed by many, led by Donald Trump, the star of Saturday Night Live, who is questioning not only Trump's Carson's veracity, but also the fact that he may be pathological. He may have pathological disease, whatever that means. All right, let me start with Jay in Brooklyn. So, Jay, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling 866-HERALDO.
Thanks a lot. Good morning, Geraldo. I called before and I asked you, I made the comment about where are the police? Over 35,000. You understand? I mean, let's make something real clear. For over a decade, Penn Station, my friend, I don't know what you know what I'm looking at, but Penn Station, that's been the epicenter. Even the steps to the post office with all the derelicts and all the bums hanging out. Where are the police?
There's a lot of bums, no doubt, and they are also junkies on methadone. Jay, I appreciate the call. But known back upstairs, what about police presence? Noam, were you impressed by the scale of it?
Yeah, well, you know, also, I will say this. I was there a number of hours after the shooting took place, but that's a highly patrolled area. I mean, just because it's 8-block walk between Penn Station and the Port Authority. Port Authority alone has a couple hundred thousand people walk through it every day. Penn Station, the number may be similar. So there's always a force. Even if you walk downstairs into Penn Station, there are the military folks who have guns right at hand. So my guess, once the shooting happened, it was just moments until police were on the scene.
I agree with that. I feel totally secure in Penn Station. I think that the police, and as Noam suggests, you also have a guardsman or reservist. I'm not sure who they're working for. Clearly, Homeland Security, they've got long rifles, and they don't mess around. I don't think that anybody feels a bit nervous. Remember what happened here. You have apparently a beep that happens in the McDonald's a couple of blocks away. Then you have an assailant, an assassin, who's got, feels that his if these reports turn out to be true, feels that it is his own inner self is in some way disrespected by the victims of this alleged shooter. He follows them down the subway steps. I don't think you can blame mass transit for this one, other than the fact that you have a lot of people with severe problems, all kind of concentrated in one place between the methadone clinic, the various churches giving out free breakfasts, and all the bums that congregate in those brand new ill-advised pedestrian malls that they created on 31st Street between 6th and 7th Avenue and 33rd Street between 7th and 8th Avenues. It's kind of a magnet that says, and this is, I blame Mayor de Blasio more than anyone, if I blame anyone other than the perps. This was a very ill-advised idea to just say, what was a bum haven will now suddenly be remade into a working people's paradise for lunch and so forth. Just hasn't worked out that way. Now, winter, they say they're going to reverse it and reopen the traffic. I doubt they will, though. They tend not to. People want to talk politics. Here's Phil in Suffolk. What's up, Phil? What are you thinking about today?
Yeah, Harold, am I on?
Yep, you're on, buddy.
Okay, the question I have is, I know they're vetting the living hell out of Ben Carson, and bad, good, better, indifferent. But he brought up a point about Obama's sealed records. Now, people like you, very good investigative reporters, you haven't touched it. I mean, the man has his stuff sealed, his records.
Well, Donald Trump tried, and he's got a lot more money than I do. It's very difficult to get a college transcript. I guess that's what you're talking about, his transcript. At Yale or at Columbia, they've just been proven to be extremely difficult to get. I mean, we got his birth certificate only because he volunteered, but he has been vetted. I don't know what aspect of President Obama's backstory that we question, that he got a C instead of an A that he was an affirmative action admission. I'm not sure exactly where that goes to the veracity of the president of the United States. I'm just not sure that it's apples and
school records. People went to school with them, never heard of them.
But I don't think here's the problem. Don't you think? And I've been in street fights. Even I've been knifed on 12th Street between A and B. Back in the day, I was knifed in my. I know about fights. I know about those kinds of things. I think Trump is right. People aren't saved from being knifed in the belly by their belt buckles. I mean, that just doesn't happen. I mean, then you have the stuff about, the pyramids and that they were hollow to store grain by the biblical Joseph. I mean, that kind of stuff is kind of nutty to me. I love Dr. Carson. I think he's a very renowned person in many ways, a wonderful role model. But he's been telling tall tales now. How relevant are the tall tales from childhood? How important is it that you have a creationist view of the universe in this day and age? I let people judge for themselves, but I think there's no doubt but that Dr. Ben Carson is on the defensive today. Don't you agree to that, Phil?
Yes, I do.
And do you lament it?
Well, I'm curious of what it is. I mean, how much is it embellished? A lot of people, I guess, in these places embellish their past in a biography.
All right. Well, Phil, I appreciate your call. Thank you. Thoughtful man. 866 Geraldo. We got a lot to talk about. I want to hone in on that Carson stuff after this.
If you think about what Carson's saying, he hit his mother over the head with a hammer.
No, he almost did, but whatever.
He hit a friend in the face with a lock. He tried to kill somebody with a knife, and he said he suffers from pathological disease, okay? When you suffer from pathological disease, you're not really getting better unless you start taking lots of pills and things.
He was a kid.
Into a bathroom, and all of a sudden he found religion.
He's a kid. Okay. Right, and it's one of these stories.
I'm surprised you're so gullible. I've never seen you like this. What's amazing to me, Bill? Here's a guy who says the mother with a, going to hit her with a hammer.
But it doesn't matter.
No, but he's trying to prove that he did it. In order to have credibility, who would want to prove this? I think,
he's 13 or he's 12 when he did it. He's a little kid. And he's
I never hit my mother over the head. You didn't either, Bill.
The story is redemption. That's what he's trying to get across. But be that as it may, the bigger story is.
Did you ever hit your mother?
No, of course not.
I don't think so.
Trump leading the way. He is vicious, Noam. I'm telling you, when he gets his sights on you, he tears your guts out. He's like that pit bull that almost killed the kid on Long Island. You have, and then got killed by the cop, the dog. But you have once Trump gets his sights on you, once he gets his jaws around you, he just doesn't let go. He's leading the charge with Dr. Ben Carson. And the reason it is so effective is that, you know, you start to think this is someone bragging about hitting his mother over the head and these other things. Of course, Ben Carson did not admit in his book to having a pathological disease. He said some of his behavior, his acting out, his losing his temper was pathological. But I think Trump is being very vicious here.
You know, why I think this may be a big deal is with the other lawmakers and politicians who are in the race, we have a narrative, we have a biography of who they are. We can see how they voted on things, whether it be Governor Christie or whether it be Marco Rubio in the Senate. We can see where they voted. And then on top of that, they have their biography. Whether that's correct or not is questionable, but Ben, on who you're talking about. But with Dr. Ben Carson, all we have is his biography. We don't know how he'd vote on, well, he's telling us how he'd vote on things, but we don't have anything else.
His biography is what propelled him indeed to the center stage. It is his amazing biography. You know, here you have this kid raised by a mom who is one of, I don't know, 20 children or something like that, desperately poor in the streets of Detroit. And, you know, I think there is a tendency, though, of those who make it into the middle class and so forth to exaggerate how far they have come. I don't think that you know, he is unique in that regard. Look at both Rubio and Cruz. You have two 44-year-old Cuban-American senators, both of whom have absolutely misrepresented their backstories. In both cases, you have the families fleeing Cuba in the 1950s when Cuba was ruled by the pro-American dictator Batista. So they left under the pro-American dictatorship. They didn't leave under Castro, and yet, because it fits the Cuban narrative, the Cuban-American narrative of fleeing the Castro repression. Both of them emphasize that. And you have not seen Trump dig his teeth into those misrepresentations yet, but I will bet you when those guys, Rubio's already getting beat up over his finances, as soon as he becomes a real threat, you're going to see Trump turning his, you know, his eyes on them and maybe his teeth, too. Here's what Ben Carson said this week responding to this various scandal.
There's no question I'm getting special scrutiny because, you know, there are a lot of people who are very threatened. And then, you know, they've seen the recent head-to-head polling against Hillary and how well I do. And, you know, they're worried. There's no question about it. Why do people put this stuff out there? To make the accusation, to try to make somebody seem dishonest, and then when it is disproven, well, let's talk about something else. Well, you said this when you were in kindergarten. Give me a break.
All right, so that's Dr. Ben Carson making a pretty effective comeback, but he sounds very defensive, as he should be with everybody assailing him. It reminds me, but it's even worse, than when Hillary went to Bosnia. You know, we covered that, the war there in the Balkans in the 90s, and Hillary says she went there, and she was under fire when she got off the helicopter in Bosnia. Wasn't it Bosnia? Was it Bosnia or was it Afghanistan? Well, one of them. I must have been Afghanistan because Bosnia was the 90s. She was just first lady. It was her as Secretary of State. I'm pretty sure it was Afghanistan. Anyway, you remember she got off the helicopter,
right.
Said she was under sniper fire, and it turns out there was no, you know, they later came up with the video that showed she walked off and there was no danger. Maybe there had been some sniper action earlier, but like the Brian Williams story, she kind of transmogrified it into her, you know, her braving danger. But it wasn't anything like Carson. This is like a feeding frenzy right now.
You know what it is? It's part of her narrative, and if you're distrustful of her, you just add that to the list of other things that you don't believe her about. With Ben Carson, though, we have nothing else to go by except what he's written in books and what he's told us about his life story. Otherwise, he's just a doctor. I mean, a great doctor, but just a doctor. And so I think that might be why this is so important, that this information be truthful.
Here's Willie in New Jersey. What are you thinking about, Willie? Thanks for calling.
I want to tell you two absolutely true stories.
Okay.
And I'll give you
put your hand on a Bible or something.
Well, the one
I want to hear from your mom after you tell the story, but go ahead.
A guy I grew up with, I went to high school with, Ruben Rosario, his name was. He was in Bayonne. He went to the skating rink over there, and he got into a hassle with some guys, and the guy tried to stab him and hit his St. Christopher's medal. Now, you might have even had that when you were at WABC because it was on. They had him on, the news that night. But the St. Christopher's medal saved.
That little green. I used to wear one. I have one on my boot now. A St. Christa, that little tiny St. Christopher medal,
no,
you're saying?
It's a bigger one. But anyway.
Well, maybe the one, remember what Al Sharpton used to wear? Remember those?
Well, not that big.
It was like a Flavor Flav
medallion.
That
clock. Yeah. It was like a hubcap.
And another guy I know was a degenerate, a vicious guy, vicious. He got drafted, and somehow he got in the Air Force. I don't know how the hell he got in the Air Force, but he used to take the bodies home.
And?
From all of that.
So what's the story?
He became a born-again Christian, and he completely changed his life. He moved to Minnesota, Mound, Minnesota, and he does all kinds of, they build houses all over the world. Last year he was in Malaysia or some damn god-awful place. I don't know. But I know.
So where's the lie? Don't lose your train of thought there, Willie. Where's the lie?
There's no lies. This is.
Oh, you're just telling me the story. Okay. What's a great story?
I don't think the guy's lying.
I got it. That's your bottom line, and I appreciate it. You do not think that Ben Carson is lying. You think that his story is plausible. Maybe it's barely plausible, but I don't think that it's plausible that the pyramids are hollow. I've been to the pyramids. They're not hollow. They have some tunnels in them for secret graves, but they were so the looters over the centuries couldn't find the wealth that the pharaohs were buried with, so you had intricate caves throughout, but they certainly, or tunnels throughout, but they're certainly not hollow, and they certainly weren't used to store grain in the biblical Joseph era. Here's George in Brooklyn. What's up, George? What are you thinking about?
I got a kick at media and the press, but not to knock them all the time. But anyway, here's a guy who comes out of Detroit, 1969, he's 17, 18 years old, whatever, top high school ROTC student. They have Westmoreland there. Westmoreland, of course, meets him because he's the top kid and he happens to be black, okay? And at the time, West Point wasn't getting too many black kids going there, okay? And he says to him, look, apply to West Point. I'll sponsor you, okay? I'm sure you'll get in. Well, if that would have been me, I would have figured, hey, I'm in. But he said no, he didn't want to go there. He wanted to become a doctor. He didn't want to become an Army guy. So he said this story, and he said scholarship, and this, that's 46 years ago. He never went, never applied, but Westmoreland was basically recruiting him because he was.
I find that story totally believable. Carson's record in high school.
Right. Now let's look at the other thing, okay?
What's that?
You got Hillary, okay, not to bash her all the time, but, my mother named me after Sir Edmund Hillary. After he climbed she was 6 years old when he went to the top of Everest. Come on, that's a story.
That's a good one. I found out. Oh, thanks, George. I found out what Hillary lied about. Okay, she lied. She said that when she was in Bosnia in 1996, during the war in the Balkans, she was under sniper fire. She told this story 12 years, and this is why I was confused. So that's the story that happened when she was first lady. But she told the story 12 years later in 2008 when she was Secretary of State. But then they found the footage from 1996. You following me? So she told the story in 2008. They found the footage from 1996, shows her walking off the helicopter, no sniper fire. She's with Chelsea, in fact, in 1996. So she tells this story when she's Secretary of State in 2008. They find the footage, and it shows that she was okay. I have the footage, actually. I'm looking at it. No sniper fire. So Hillary definitely exaggerated the onerous conditions of her disembarkation from a helicopter in Bosnia in 1996, for what it's worth.
What does she say when people have asked her about that? Someone must have asked her about that over the years. What is her response to that?
She misremembered.
Oh, okay.
Misremembered.
Yeah, you're going to misremember something like that?
I misremembered that. Anyway, it's 49 minutes after. I haven't even gotten to Saturday Night Live yet. A lot of fun. Overnight metered markets showing Trump, if not triumphant, certainly he had the best rating they've had in several years, maybe 4 years. So we'll talk about Trump on Saturday Night Live, and I haven't even gotten to the other topics. It's a busy Monday morning.
Geraldo, 77 WABC.
Hezbollah, other organizations in the region that carry out terrorist attacks. A lot of our time will be spent on a memorandum of understanding that we can potentially negotiate. It will be expiring.
President Barack Obama live as he sits uncomfortably next to Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu. These two men have a fear and loathing of each other that is hard for them to disguise. But they're the president now recounting what he expects to speak with Bibi about. Let's listen for a minute.
On this narrow issue, but we don't have a disagreement on the need to making sure that Iran does not get a nuclear weapon, and we don't have a disagreement about the importance of us blunting destabilizing activities that Iran may be taking place. And so we're going to be looking to make sure that we find common ground there. And we will also have an opportunity to discuss some of the concerns that both of us have.
Noam, it reminds me of two estranged couples with a marriage counselor on the verge of divorce. It is unmistakable the hostility that exists. You know, is there apprehension about this relationship, or is there a feeling in Israel, ask your ma, dad, Noam, that this too shall pass?
You know, I think there's a lot of feeling that this too shall pass. And you'll remember when Netanyahu came and spoke here before Congress, before he was reelected to prime minister. And they had the cameras, you know, here. Everybody was talking about what a big deal it was that he was getting this chance to speak before Congress right before Election Day in Israel. Back in Israel, it hardly played. It's so interesting. And so I think when it comes to this, either you like President Obama, it's sort of interesting. It's very similar to the United States. You have maybe half, maybe a little less, don't know what the numbers are right now, like what the president's doing, the other half don't. Same goes in Israel. You have half the populace likes the prime minister, the other half can't stand them.
You have a situation, just leaning over, getting my New York Times here. I saw this ad, a big ad a group took out. I got to find it now. It's so interesting. If Israel, under Bibi Netanyahu and his right-wing allies, continues to ignore the peace process with these quixotic hopes that people will forget the two-state solution, and just go on with one greater Israel, just shows how I can't find it now. It just shows that how Israel will have an Arab majority. That Israel will shrink in terms of the Jewish population will shrink unless they divide into two countries as the Oslo Accords dictated they should.
Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
6 minutes after 11 o'clock on this Monday, November the 9th. Thank you for tuning in. 77 WABC. Geraldo here along with Noam Layden. A couple of things I want to clean up before we get to Trump on Saturday Night Live. First of all, tomorrow night on the Fox Business Channel, use Channel Finder if you don't know what number it is on your cable. But tomorrow night, the Fox Business New Network will be presenting two debates. One, the undercard. They don't like when we refer to it as that, but the junior varsity starts at 7 o'clock. What is interesting in that debate is that Mike Huckabee and Chris Christie, both governors, will be on that opening panel, the lesser panel, the junior varsity, although, ironically, it may end up helping Chris Christie, who has made some impressive moves in recent days, particularly with his frankness about drug addiction and alcohol addiction and its impact in his own family. That's a huge issue in New Hampshire. I also found that full-page ad I was trying to find in the New York Times. It talks about the greatest existential threat to the Jewish Democratic State of Israel is continuing the status quo. It's from the Center for Middle East Peace, and it talks about how if Israel continues to hold its dominion over Gaza and the West Bank, as of right now, the population breakdown is 52% Jewish. By 2020, it'll be 49% Jewish. By 2030, it'll be 44% Jewish. You see the point? The point is there will not be, if there's just a one-state solution, there won't be a Jewish state majority. There'll be a Jewish minority if they continue to hold dominion over the Palestinians. And what the author of this full-page ad in the New York Times, it's on, in my edition, it's A13. Daniel Abram for the Center for Mideast Peace, he and I totally see eye to eye. But the president meeting with Bibi Netanyahu right now. Cruz and Rubio, the latest polls show good news for them. I want to get to politics and for Saturday Night Live. But we had a caller. I want to get to his call because I don't want to leave this point. I referenced it, you know, going from the grand issue and the big stage internationally to something much more retail, much closer to home. This happening in Elmont on the island. You had a pit bull that attacked and killed a 9-year-old girl. And I said to you, and this pit bull only released its death grip on this child that it mauled. I mean, people say it is disgusting. The scene is disgusting. What happened Sunday when this pit bull, a pet, attacked and killed the 9-year-old. It had her in a death grip. The cops came to the scene, two cops. The dog finally let the girl go, attacked one of the cops, a third cop who ended up killing the dog and putting it and us out of its misery. I think that it is appalling to have pit bulls as pets. It's like having a wolf as a pet. But I had one call I wanted to get to who has a different opinion. So let me put Mario on. Mario, make your point, and then I'll move on from
this. Yes, Geraldo, how are you? I've had
good,
pit bulls. I've had Rottweilers. As a matter of fact, I have a rescue pit bull now. I think one of the issues with these dogs are that people don't realize you have to teach them to be aggressive. You have to teach them to be social. You have to teach them that they don't always have to be on their guard. I had a Rottweiler for 12 years, lived in a 26-story building, got in the elevator every morning, not a problem, because I made him social. He knew to protect the home. He knew to protect the family. And that's like my female pit. We get no problems at all as long as people...
But why do you have dogs like that? Social. You tell me, you live in a high-rise apartment building. What is a pit bull going to do for you and a Rottweiler going to do for you? And aren't you afraid the dog is just going to, one day on the elevator, is going to bite some kid?
No, I wouldn't be afraid of that. I like big dogs. I don't like these small little yappy dogs that do nothing but...
I don't either, but get yourself a golden retriever.
That are more vicious than any pit bull or any Rottweiler, but people don't look at them because they're...
That's because they don't kill. They got little teeth.
What? If they were...
I know, Mario. I have to disagree. I don't want to get off on a big thing. I just want you to know that it's like one of Geraldo's laws. No pit bulls in urban situations. And it's not fair to the dog, and it's not fair to your neighbors. It's a terrible idea, and I just don't know why it is tolerated. Why do you have to wait? If a dog is bred to attack and to kill, and it takes a really conscientious owner to make sure that this instinctively aggressive animal is taught, to be more social, I don't want to depend on the social morality of the owner of the pit bull. I don't want a pit bull walking on a sidewalk when I'm walking my kid, in the opposite direction. I just don't get it. It's like we talk about guns and how dangerous guns are. I mean, this is like having a four-legged gun, without a safety on it. And sometimes you're going to snag the trigger and it's going to go off, and sometimes you're not. I think it's absolutely appalling. All right, enough about that. Let me get to Trump. I'm an hour late on Trump on Saturday Night Live. It's what everyone's been talking about. Let's start with the open. Here's Trump at the open.
And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight.
You're a racist.
Who the hell is... I knew this was going to happen. Who is that?
Trump's a racist.
It's Larry David. What are you doing, Larry?
I heard if I yelled that, they'd give me $5,000.
I think he was brilliant. Larry David was brilliant. Trump was okay. And that bit, I think that bit, Noam, went a long way toward diffusing the tension. Now, remember, there was the demonstration outside about Trump's anti-immigration stance, his harsh notion that he's going to deport all of the undocumented, including their children, even if the children are born in this country. So you had the demonstration outside, which I thought was pathetically small, a couple hundred people. I expected a couple of thousand at least. I think the next time Hispanic groups say they're going to protest Trump, they ought to spend a little more time organizing and making sure they have a turnout. But you had a couple of hundred people. They were, I'm so delighted, were peaceful. They weren't insulting to cops. They stayed behind the barricades. They didn't mess up traffic. They made their point, however few they were in number. And I thought that Trump did okay. It wasn't my favorite show. It wasn't, all that funny. I don't think it was okay. I mean, the bits are playing better, I noticed, than they did when I watched it live, maybe because I was tired on Saturday Night Live. But generally speaking, I thought he did a good job under a lot of pressure.
You know, Saturday Night Live, for the most part, is only good. And the reason it was ever only good is because at 11:35, there was a chance that you were either buzzed, stoned, drunk. And so, of course, it played really funny. And
or
that's the problem.
Or all of the above in
right.
my house.
And when exactly. And if you watch it straight, which I did on Sunday because I wasn't home Saturday to watch it, we watch it straight on Sunday, it's not that funny of a show.
You can't do that. Yeah. All right. Here's Trump on the White House.
Mr. President, the President of Mexico is here to see you.
Oh, that's great. Send him in. Ah!
Donald!
Enrique!
I brought you the check for the wall.
Oh, that's so wonderful. This is far too much money.
No, I insist. Consider it an apology for doubting you. As history shows us, nothing brings two countries together like a wall.
Well, I told you, and I'm so proud of you, and changing Telemundo to all English for me, you changed that to all English, it's
of
the greatest
course.
Thing. General, how are we doing in Syria?
Well, ISIS is completely eliminated, sir. The country is at peace, all the refugees have returned, and they have great jobs as blackjack dealers in the Trump Hotel and Casino in Damascus.
Madam Secretary, how's the situation in Russia?
Never better. After your face-to-face meeting, Putin has withdrawn from Ukraine. Believe me, he does not want to be called a loser again. He cried for hours.
Well, I'm sorry. I just had to do that. Keep up the good work, Omarosa. You're doing fantastic.
That was pretty funny. I thought that what bombed, surprisingly, and it was because I think the writers blew it, was when Ivanka came out. You know, she's a very well-known, in New York at least, very well-known businesswoman and sometime personality on TV. She's on The Apprentice cast. But when she came out and they revealed her, there was no reaction by the audience at all. It was like they didn't know who she was. Someone should have said, and Ivanka is the secretary of so-and-so, and your daughter Ivanka. I think that they would have helped, but I thought that moment was a little embarrassing.
Did you see the texting scene where they were texting?
The texting was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Or him singing to the Drake song.
That was the best. I thought that was the best because I dance, now that I have only one foot, I dance just like Trump. with the daddy mouth, biting your lip and flailing your arms around. I totally lost it. All right, here's Michael in New Jersey. Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo. Michael, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hi, Geraldo. Remember, Trump is actually trying to get the nomination from the Republican Party. I think this appearance in an NFL will hurt him.
Will hurt him.
It will, because beside those two sketches that you just play on your show right now, he was exposed to too much of hosting. Showing up and coming to the show wouldn't be a big deal, but exposing yourself to an extended period of lame sketches and lame appearance, this picture that they keep putting up him in the screen in the middle of the pauses with a jacket, with glasses like Hervis, not presidential at all for the party that he's running.
Well, let me ask you this. Were you going to vote for him anyway, Michael?
I'm actually observing Carson very closely in terms of his passion because he have to wake up a little bit. But the man is, he has a pretty strong message. He's a pretty strong defender of his message. And the only fear that I have with Carson is the fact that once elected president, Carson won't fight. I mean, he's not as big as a shark as Donald Trump is to defend himself from the establishment in both parties.
All right, my excellent call. Excellent call. You're a very astute observer. Let me take a quick intermission here at 18 minutes after 11 o'clock. I'll come back to all your calls. There's so much to talk about, from pit bulls to Donald Trump. Maybe that's the same story. No, I'm kidding. But this is a busy Monday, a Monday that saw blood running on the sidewalk right outside the windows of 77 WABC's studio under the Empire State Building, high above Madison Square Garden and Penn Station. You know, one of the things that I really worried about on Saturday night was that there'd be a huge turnout of anti-Trump protesters. That would have been fine, but that they would have acted out in the aggressive and unfocused manner that Black Lives Matter has acted out, much to the detriment of the Black Lives Matter movement. But now I think it can be said that the Black Lives Matter movement has claimed a very prominent victim. The president of the University of Missouri has just resigned. President Tim Wolfe said his resignation is effective immediately. Now, what did President Tim Wolfe do at the University of Missouri's flagship campus? What he did, according to the group of concerned students, and joined this morning by the black members of the University of Missouri football team, what he did was not pay sufficient attention, according to these kids, to issues of race and discrimination at the 27,000-strong campus in Columbia, Missouri, of the University of Missouri. All this, ladies and gentlemen, really is a reaction to the shooting death of Michael Douglas in Ferguson, Missouri, a year ago. So that movement that started there with the whole fake hands up, don't shoot stuff has now claimed the presidency of the University of Missouri. What is going to happen? Listen to me when I say this. What is going to happen is you're going to have these focused protesters taking their generalized wrath, picking out a person that they see as a hinge, in this case, the president of the university. Imagine getting a president of a university to resign because in the minds of 150 activists, there's not sufficient attention being paid to issues of race and discrimination. I mean, to me, that is so dangerous. That is giving a disproportionate power to groups that are noisy. And here in this case, it's like when I went campaigning against hoodies, like the hoodie worn by the guy who fatally shot someone this morning outside Penn Station. Then you had the Miami Heat, led by LeBron James and others, coming out in their next game wearing hoodies. They were saying that hoodies, you know, don't shoot because of the hoodies. And I was absolutely right about the hoodies and how they portray this gangster image that makes these young people more susceptible to violence and to getting in trouble with the cops. Now you have a president of a university, the University of Missouri, a major university. And because they got the 30 black football players, like the hoodie people got the Miami Heat, you have the 30 black football players announcing they wouldn't participate in practices unless the president resigned. My goodness. So now you've, what happened to academic freedom? What happened to diversity of thought? What happened to due process? It is appalling to me, and I bet you this is going to have a negative response. This is going to backfire. It's just a terrible, terrible idea. I don't like it at all, and I think this political correctness BS is appalling. And where do we go now? Now the biggest mouth is going to be one that the only one that gets listened to. Here's Jack in Brooklyn. What's on your mind, Jack? Thanks for calling 866 Geraldo.
Good morning, Geraldo. Good morning, Norm. What I wanted to say, let's talk about noble lives, noble and selfless lives. Lieutenant Sims, rest in peace. And for all the Americans that were attacked on September 11th.
Remind us who Lieutenant Sims is again.
She's the officer.
Sims was the first responder who worked on the pile at Ground Zero.
Why do you mention her? Did she?
She passed away on Thursday, yeah.
From one of the diseases?
Yeah, her funeral was yesterday.
Yes, and unfortunately, there's going to be many more funerals, I believe. A lot of people are wounded, wounds that are seen and unseen. And then we have this good lad from Virginia and the rest of the Republicans. I was told that you guys were on it. It's the most immoral, un-American thing to do is to cut this James the Droger Act. That fellow James, John Field, I believe, he called him an A.H. Well, that's a compliment because he's just a mean-spirited Virginian. And let me tell you something. I've heard
This is the arbitrator of the... Oh, this is the congressman who's refusing
to renew. No, this is the congressman from Virginia that wants
right,
to cut
refusing
this
to renew
the
drug act. I got it. Right, Jack.
That's just...
So, Jack, who are you? Who are you? You haven't told us who you are.
I'm Jack from Brooklyn. I'm retired.
What's your background, Jack? What's your background?
I'm retired from the job.
Uh-huh.
Retired from the job.
I like to think that we have more cops listening to this show than any show on radio.
You know, so please keep after these Republicans. I heard that the badge of honor in Virginia to try to screw New Yorkers. We spoke about it before. I don't know. They're still fighting the Civil War. It's terrible.
It is terrible. And you know what's terrible also? I'm watching these students strutting around now. The president has resigned. Just awful.
How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Mary Travers of Peter, Paul, and Mary would have been 79 today. Happy birthday, girlfriend. You know, but thinking about Peter, Paul, and Mary, thinking about the activism that so defined my life in the late 60s and early 70s. And I think that if I were a student at the University of Missouri, I could potentially have seized on this movement to oust the president. Why? Was it because of something the president did? No, not particularly. But it's the president represents the establishment there in Missouri. What else is in Missouri? Ferguson, the city of Ferguson, is also in Missouri. What the activists were really pissed off at, just like we were pissed off at the war, we directed our anger at President Nixon and so forth. Their anger is directed at what they perceive to be the victimization of young black men by cops. So who gets caught up in that grinder? The president of the university. Why? Because he's not as radical as the kids. So you have the students, largely the black students first. They display their anger and their activism and their marching and their they recruit their fellow students because it's the politically correct thing to do. Of course there's racism. Of course there's police violence. And the institution, the university, has not been fast enough to deal with perceived racial slights on campus, one thing or the other. But what they're doing, the kids are venting. And once they got the football team that provides so much revenue to the university, once they got the 30 black members of the college football team on board, then the president's fate was predetermined. It is the real power, the power of political correctness and the power of the loudest voice and the ability to corner, to embarrass, to threaten the basic functioning of the university. If the players don't play, what kind of university do they have? They don't show up on Saturday. They were saying they weren't going to go to practice. But I lament this. I understand the parallels to my own activism. But during my time and that time, remember there was the real civil rights movement where you barely were over the period of lynching and the murder of civil rights activists and the beating and the hosing and all the rest of that, and you were in the middle of the anti-war movement. What is it now? What is it now? What is the Black Lives Matter movement really about? Have any of them in the movement complained bitterly about the death of the 9-year-old boy who was lured into the alleyway in Chicago where he could be intentionally shot and killed last week? As a message to the boy's dad, who happened to be in another gang from the gang that did the shooting of the youngster? Has anyone complained about the death of that 9-year-old or the death of so many others, innocent victims who fall? No. They only complain when it's a cop who does the shooting, the killing. And in this case, it's so easy to direct your wrath. Liberals always fold. That's the one thing I learned as an activist. You set your sights on a liberal, like remember John Lindsay and his administration? When you set your sights on a liberal, they're going down. They have no courage to stand up. They have no moxie. Look what Bernie Sanders did when the Black Lives Matter activist jumped on stage and took his microphone out of his hands. He was apologizing for them as misunderstood children. And now this victimization of the university president, unless there's something there that I don't know, that I haven't heard, but what I've heard is he wasn't vigorous enough in dealing with complaints about perceived racial discrimination. Really? Is that what it was? What was the perceived racial discrimination on the university campus? I understand that it's the flagship campus of the University of Missouri's four different campuses. It's the number one campus, the one in Columbia, the one that you've heard about, great journalism school and so forth. I understand that it's overwhelmingly white. Is that the real problem? Is that it? And the university president now stepping down, is that the perceived slight? I don't know, but this is... What you have now is the loudest voice dictating policy. Did you see the video of the kids who were complaining? You should check it out. Just check it out. I'll say no more. Okay, 866-RELLA, what's on your mind today? Anything from Trump to the resignation of the University of Missouri president to the gunfight assassination this morning outside our studio at Madison Square Garden? Here's Bobby in Bayside. What's on your mind, Bobby?
Come on.
You're on, Bobby. What's up?
Oh, hi, Gerardo. The president resigning, big mistake. What he should have did was pull their 30 scholarships on those guys.
And you the 30 football players who said they weren't going to play unless he resigned.
Right. So pull the scholarships. They're not going to play. Get off the campus. You would have seen how fast they would have reversed their action.
I think the chances of that happening are slim to none. Slim to none. I don't think they wanted to. I think the guy that stepped down, the president, really sacrificed himself unnecessarily. But like I said, liberals have no courage.
And Gerardo, I agree with you. And everything that you've said in the past 3 or 4 minutes, I agree with you. And a lot of people out here, there's going to be a backlash on this.
I mean, I don't know. Aside from Fox News, I don't know where you'd see it.
7% of the people that go to that college, 7% out of the 28,000 are black. The others are white. Now, why would the white kids just stand there and do nothing?
Political correctness. I'm telling you, nobody wants to seem like they're the Neanderthal. Nobody wants to seem that they're the racist or the racialist. Nobody wants to be on the, and I appreciate the call, Bobby, on that side of the... of the deal. It's just, it doesn't happen. Tom's River, we got Joe on the line. What's up, Joe? Thanks for calling 866-RELLA.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. You're up. What's up?
Oh, hi, Geraldo. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk to you about, for the longest time, why people are vetting Ben Carson to the degree that they're doing so, and they have never really done that to Barack Obama. I mean, when the media's asked things like, who is Frank Marshall Davis? There's a wall of silence that continuously...
Who is he?
There.
I don't know who he is. Who is he?
Well, Frank Marshall Davis is supposed to have been his real father. And I believe that this country was...
Well, is that an American? At least he's American.
Well, yeah, but he was, according to what I've read, this guy was on the FBI list that if there was any problems in the country, he was to be immediately detained because of his communistic background.
I'm not a conspiracy guy. I understand it makes good radio, but I just can't spend any energy thinking about that kind of stuff. I absolutely disbelieve it. In terms of the president's vetting, my goodness, when was the last time a president had to come up with his long-form birth certificate? I think the president's been vetted pretty well. People have gone back to his father's village in Kenya. They've gone to the school he attended in Indonesia. They've checked every boyfriend his mom ever had after she split with her husband. They vetted the grandparents. I think the president, I wish he had turned over his college records, but I don't remember caring particularly about anybody's college records. I know Trump graduated top in his class in Wharton, and he's offered or he's made those records clear, but I don't really care about it. I do think that it is healthy when people get busted the way Hillary Clinton was busted in 2008 when she said that 12 years before, when she had been in Bosnia, she had been under fire, and then they came up with a video that showed her kind of triumphantly leaving the aircraft and waving to the crowd at the airport where she was supposedly sniped at. I think that that's good that they get busted and they get reminded once in a while that somebody is listening when they make these claims. But I think the suggestion that Ben Carson is being investigated in a far more vigorous way than Barack Obama, I don't buy that.
You know,
I just don't see it.
I think it's naive in 2015, if you're getting into politics, to think that journalists aren't going to look under every stone. They've done
Absolutely.
It for years. This is
you're
not new.
Me. And that's when I was running for Senate in New Jersey, when I was going to run for Senate, the first thing I thought about is four divorces. So they're going to go through every divorce they're going to find, because they're all public records. They're going to go through every divorce. They're going to find everything. Of course, and, you know, they did away with fault divorces. I don't want to tell you to go check out something that's not there. But, I mean, my point is that it's very easy to check the backstories of public people. You could start with Wikipedia. I mean, that's a pretty good place.
That's true.
Just start right there. Just look it up. And you see, oh, my God, did you know this about so-and-so? Did you know that about so-and-so? And if you're going to run for office, you're going to be excoriated for the slightest things, for things that, you know, that whole thing. Did you ever have an undocumented immigrant as a nanny or as a house cleaner? You know, did you ever smoke dope? You know, did you ever commit adult? You know, there's so many crappy things to be asked that I think that's why you seldom get someone like a Donald Trump offering themselves. You seldom get successful people that aren't professional politicians who get vetted on a regular basis. So you don't, they're the president of this or that company when they run. Look at Carly Fiorina. My goodness, how people have gone through everything about her background, everything about the fortunes, the rise and fall of Hewlett Packard. I mean, it's just the name of the game. And I think, and I tweeted this out this morning, I think the difference is Ben Carson based his campaign on his personal story. Now the personal story is in some ways being impeached. So isn't that the impeachment of the entire foundation stone of his candidacy? It's a little different in Ben Carson's case, I think. What do you think? We'll be back. 55 minutes after 11 o'clock, David in New Jersey is on the line after calling 866-RALDO. What's on your mind, David?
Oh, yeah, Roger. I was just calling because you always say that that no one ever speaks about the black lives that's dying in, out here in the streets here. Al Sharpton just mentioned it last yesterday on his show.
Good.
It'd be tolerated.
Excellent. Excellent. That's why I think Sharpton is underrated. That's going to start a whole other scandal. But you have to admit that the Black Lives Matter movement, those if God forbid that 9-year-old kid in the alleyway in Chicago had been killed by a cop. Can you imagine what the upheaval would be, the uproar would be? But I agree with you about Sharpton. Sharpton often speaks about things that other civil rights leaders ignore, and I applaud him for that. But I think there's nothing, nobody could ever argue to me that there is anything like the visceral reaction from the Black Lives Matter movement when an African-American man, woman, or child is killed by another African-American man, woman, or child. There's nothing like the response when it's a black-on-blue incident. It's just awful. I want to talk more about that tomorrow. One thing I can't change the topic more profoundly than I am about to, but here at 77 WAC tomorrow, I want to talk about this sexting investigation at the Colorado High School. These kids sharing nude photos of themselves over their smartphones, having a whole ring doing it. Now, the cops are said to be investigating this with an eye toward charging these children as violating child pornography laws. If you're a senior and 18 years old, you're an adult, so you can be labeled a sex offender for the rest of your life, registering as a sex offender. Even if you're 18 and the girl that you're passing on the sexting to, or if you sent a nude picture to, is 17 years old, you're 18, you go to jail, or and you may be registered for life as a sex offender. How ridiculous is that? How much fun these cops must be having checking out, oh, look at this one, oh, look at this one, as they do their investigation. I think it's bizarre. We need a whole new set of laws for dealing with smartphones, and this technology scares the hell out of me with a 10-year-old girl, I'll tell you that much. So much to say, so little time. Noam, thanks for your reporting.
Sure.
Manana, you keep your eye out for any updates. See you tomorrow, folks.